thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Everybody, welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's right.
As you can see, we have a special guest in the house.
Yes, we do.
Fellow comedian.
What?
Director.
Say it again.
Movie maker.
That's right.
Man, this dude is so... I'm going to let him introduce himself and give all his other accolades. You know, a father.
Writer.
That's important.
Writer.
Writer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Raymel Adams in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where can they find you, man?
You can find me anywhere. You can find me on Google.
Google.
You can Google my name. Raymel Adams.
Yeah.
I'm on Facebook, Instagram. Instagram as the real Raymel Adams, but Facebook as Raymel A. Adams. But honestly, you can just Google me as Raymel Adams and everything will come up.
Nice.
You get all the movies, everything.
Doing big things.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you being here, sir.
Yes, sir.
I got it. Where is the button?
I think it's the top.
This one.
Yeah, that's the one. But you know, it's like you got so many movies that's out here, and basically what you're doing is you are, I don't know if you realized it or even looked at it this way, but you are like giving hope to people that probably felt like they never would be on screen or never would be in a movie or anything like that. And you don't realize how much that can impact someone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, you putting people in films that probably thought they'll never look at, you know, themselves. Like when you premiere a movie and they come and they see themselves on the big screen, it could change their life. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You never know the impact it can have on someone.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what you're doing is you're doing, like, you're making stars. You will start making stars. You just... you know, spreading it, and that's dope, and that's a big accomplishment. And I don't know if you ever looked at it that way, but you should be proud of that, bro.
Yeah, 100%.
Thank you. Well, I have looked at it like that from the simple fact of I think about it myself. You know, I've always been the type to put myself in a shoe that may not be there. I mean by that is... if I wasn't the director, if I wasn't the producer, how would I feel being an extra in this movie?
Okay.
As an extra, when you see that movie, you're like, am I going to be able to be seen? You know, you're always worrying about being seen as an extra.
Right.
So I don't do extras.
Okay.
Okay. my extras, they be seen and they have something to say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I always said, so if your family go to the bathroom or whatever, they still gonna see you.
Okay.
You're gonna be in that movie. You know, I never did that. I always let an extra face be seen, whether they got a gun or whatever, something, whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
They looking around and I put that camera on their face.
Right.
Because it's almost like you kind of tear a person down when they done told so many people right. that, hey, I'm in this movie, and they say, hey, I didn't see you.
Right.
Or, man, he was in there a quick second, man, I didn't even see you.
So, right.
You know what I mean? When you got something that's meaningful, you done put your time to, I like to give people their time and have their people be like, man, I seen you in there, man. You was nice, man. That was cool, man. You look good, man. That was a good movie, man. You did all this and did all that, and I thought you said you was an extra. I was, but
right, I get
had
that.
Had me do this and had me do that,
right,
and
right,
you know
right.
what I mean. I, you know, that makes somebody feel more worthy, and then they're able to stretch out and grab more. But right. only thing is, everybody's not like that.
Right.
So the next thing they grab may not be like, they might just be an extra.
Right.
They might
right.
just be.
Just
sitting there
background.
And doing yeah some goofy
acting like they're having a conversation
yeah. right and you saying that you know some goofy stuff
hey, hey let's touch back on that so just you know just to let people know like who is Raymel Adams, let us know
yeah like when did you like even start doing any of this.
Well, to be honest, I started doing this at the age of 11. Because I was writing stories that made sense. Didn't know what God was prepping me for. This is all God. This is nothing new. God was prepping me for that. I was writing stories that made sense. My mom probably gonna see this, so I'm probably gonna get a whooping. But me and my best friend, we would cut school and listen to her records and act out skits for some reason.
What kind of records? Were they comedy records?
No, they were just old school records, like old school songs and stuff like
woman
that.
Like Woman to Woman?
Nah, like older. You know, like some Isley Brothers, some Fred Sanford. Oh, she had all kind of stuff, man. It was like you can name anything. And we were acting skits out, some like Bionic Man, the slow motion song, all yeah. kind of, you know what I mean? We were doing slow motion. I would go in the bathroom, put some water on my face, and like it looked like sweating, and you're going in slow motion, and you know what I mean? So, you know, and then it was just like what y'all doing now, laughing.
Yeah.
It's still funny.
Yeah.
But for me now, it's like God was preparing me
right.
for what I'm doing now.
Absolutely.
We did that quite often. Not all the time cutting school.
Right.
You know, it would just be, we just did it often. And then later in the years, not too much later, I did a play in school and I was in drama in school. You know, no offense to nobody, but you know, Dracula's white. Yeah, I mean, you know. Can I cuss?
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Dracula's
yeah.
white.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
In Transylvania.
Or Castlevania. What the fuck they call it? Sumvania.
Yeah.
One of them fucking
one of those
Vanias.
Places.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. No, not Pennsylvania. Okay.
Transylvania.
Nah, yeah, be in Pennsylvania. That motherfucker ain't going to be there.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Represent.
One of them motherfucking Vanias. And I had a best friend.
Ooh.
I ain't gonna say his name, but you know, this motherfucker, if he ever see this, he know who the fuck I'm talking about, you punk motherfucker, you know. But I liked you then. I never even, that was felt good to get that out. I mean, never said that.
Get it out, man.
But him and I was best friends, and we both went out for the play. And we both went for fucking Dracula. I won.
Nice.
So that changed to Dracula being black.
Blackula.
Yes. I still haven't talked to this motherfucker.
Because of that?
That was in elementary.
That was because of that?
That was in junior high school. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that motherfucker stopped talking to me, man.
Really?
Yeah, he moved his desk and all kind of shit, man.
What?
Yeah, man.
When you said move his desk.
Is that what you said, fuck you? Yeah.
I was cussing. I ain't gonna lie. Because I know my mom gonna see this. You know, it's a lot of shit that's gonna be on me, y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all
just keep,
when you said move his desk, you talk about the desk that you used to open up like this?
Yeah, that mad Dracula. Yeah. You
crayons and shit all everywhere. You know, he moved it and really? Sacrificed crayons, falling everything, books everywhere.
Boo.
You know, so yeah, fucking boo him. Fuck him. You know, I ain't gonna say his name, but you know who you is. You know, that was
yeah, you know
punk,
who you are.
Some punk shit, man. You know, but I was happy to be Dracula.
Nice.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. You should say congratulations to such and such.
Yeah.
You're going to say your fucking name.
Damn, but, haters. Man, he should have been your biggest supporter.
Nah, that motherfucker.
Hater, dog.
And I don't even know what school he went to after that year.
So he was a hater before the term even existed, like hater. Like that. Was that your first experience with haterism?
Yeah. Damn,
that was my closest friend too.
That's right. That was the motherfucker. That was, yeah.
That's your first haterism.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was cool though, because it wasn't haterism. It was a motivation.
Absolutely.
Taught you a lesson.
Right. So it taught me a lesson not to give a fuck.
Mm.
Business.
I've seen that from John Singleton.
Okay.
Write it, shoot it, and not give a fuck what nobody say.
Facts.
Because you're not going to get it done if you keep giving a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Facts.
I did a play with the great Nakia Jones. She was the officer that yada, yada, yada. I ain't, you know, but that shit's over. Let's let it sink. But she global. But at that time, she was still an officer here in Cleveland in Warrensville. And she did a play called Why Me Lord. And I actually remember my lines from that right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's wild.
So she had another play and it was taking long. So she did that. She performed it. But at that time I said, man, I'm gonna go ahead and start my own shit.
Okay.
By me doing what I do, I'm good with my hands, so I'll build my own stage play, my own stage set.
Really?
Everything.
So about, give us a, you know, like a timeline, like what age were you?
That was in 2016.
Okay.
So that was when I started doing my own.
9 years ago.
In 2016. I did two plays. My last play, I swear to you, I measured the stage and everything, and my ideas were so broad. I had a kitchen and everything. I wasn't able to put that together, but it still was dope. That's when I knew I needed to do movies.
Mm-hmm.
In the elevator, taking my sets down, I looked at my brother and said, I'm not doing no more plays. I'm doing movies.
Mm. So in 2016, that's when the transformation from plays to movies started.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
I'm 45.
Okay. Yeah. I'm 46.
You forgot how old you was.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to think.
I'm 49.
I'll be 47.
I'm OG up in here. You see these grays.
You know, you can dye that shit.
No.
But that's grown in.
Yeah, you can't dye it. My buddy tried to dye that shit. I was like, what the hell are you doing?
No.
What are you trying to do? Ain't gonna fuck it up.
Andrew Mary. So really, what are you doing?
He's trying to hit something. Sorry.
Well, I think they be swinging. So.
Oh.
What the?
I mean, that's the rumor.
You got me
fucked up.
Hey, you got me fucked up.
Shout out to you. You know who you are.
No. Hey, I ain't swinging shit.
Oh, yeah, 100%. No, I couldn't do that shit. Not one bit.
Nah, you got me fucked
up. But, okay, so 2016 is when you started getting into movies. So, yeah. You didn't go to school for it, right? Oh, well, hold on. Do you have a regular job?
Yeah, I'm an engineer. I'm a regular job.
So,
I forgot to put that in your intro. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, so how long have you been doing that?
25 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Because I know what it is.
I haven't been at the same job for 25 years.
No, it's just you've been working a regular job and doing this.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That gives you, you know, people don't understand that, you know, that's that's amazing because, you know, it's discipline.
Yeah, it make it easy for you to tell people to kiss your ass.
Oh, 100%.
Because when they don't get it, like, dude,
yeah,
I'm out here dogging this shit, bro. Like, people ask me, where do you get time for this? Because it's my passion.
Yeah, you
make time.
Make
time.
Man?
So,
like I said, you ain't rushing home to watch some stupid on TV.
Yes, I do.
I mean,
yeah, I watch some stupid shit. I watch animals killing animals and.
But you're able to watch it whenever you want to watch it. You're not rushing home.
Not rushing home to do it.
You see what I'm saying? But maybe in your spare time, you watch some silly shit because you can, but you're like, you got other shit to do after you leave.
Every day.
You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, we all find that.
No,
time.
I'm just fucking with you.
Especially
no.
on the toilet.
It's
what
no,
are you else
I,
you going to do
I,
when
I,
you're
I
on?
I see it on the big screen. I ain't on it.
You got
to
do this.
Yeah.
Nobody goes to the bathroom without their phone.
By 2017, I was making a movie.
Nice.
What was the name of your first film?
Cops.
Cops?
Spelled with a K. K-O-P-P-S.
K-O-P-P-S. Where can people find that?
In my library. I didn't release.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou. forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
That yet, because I'm remastering it.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I do have a clip, but I didn't make that public yet. I was thinking about it today. But as far as second and up, you can see everything.
Okay.
My second movie was Call Me.
Call Me. So Call Me, is that available to the public?
Yes. Yes. You can actually watch it on YouTube. That's free on YouTube.
Okay.
Just Call Me the movie.
Call Me the movie.
Yeah.
Look that up on YouTube, everyone, so you can see the genius of Mr. Ray Mel Adams.
Mm-hmm. You have a page on YouTube?
Yeah, it's RNA Productions.
RNA Productions, okay.
Yeah, it's so many clips on there. It's outrageous.
Link. Yeah, put the link in the description. Yeah.
That was a very fun movie to do. My character, I had to find my character, really. My character was named Yanara. At first I wanted him to have dreadlocks, some goofy shit. I don't know what the fuck was I was doing. So I ordered some damn dreadlocks. Oh man. I think I got these motherfuckers from Wish or something. But I wish I wouldn't have bought these motherfuckers. They was perm
dreads?
I didn't say dreads, I said perm.
Oh, it's just man. A perm wig?
Yeah. It wasn't dreaded yet.
It was white people dreads.
I don't even know if it was that.
Oh, man.
It was just, I don't know. I was going to ask my daughter, my oldest daughter, she's 25 now. I was going to say, can you dread these? But it was so late in time. It was time for crunch time. So I just said, fuck it. So I had to come up with something else for Yanara.
Okay.
Okay. So, at least you scrapped it.
Yeah, scrapped
you
the
made,
fuck
you
out
made
of
a good decision.
Oh no, he wasn't about to come on in no goddamn movie with that. I would have went on stage with it because you ain't got no like camera of it. But I recorded both of my plays anyway. But,
oh, okay. Well.
No. I had decided for him to be rugged, sexy.
Okay.
So I didn't brush my hair. I let my hair be fucked up. But he has a dead eye.
A dead eye?
Yeah.
So how did you?
Yeah.
I got a dead eye contact.
Oh, okay.
I put that bitch in.
Oh, okay.
I wore that motherfucker.
So it was like something like the Method Man, the white, all white kit?
Yeah, it was dope. People loved it. Everybody loved it. Yeah.
How'd that feel?
At first, tears came out of my motherfucking eyes every time I put that bitch in. So I had to put it in probably about 10 minutes prior to being on set. But after a while, I was able to wear it. I wore it, honestly, for like 8 hours.
Wow. Did it affect your vision, like, in that
you
eye?
You can't see out of it. But yeah, I learned, okay. You see blur, but you don't see blur. Wow. So I did a Call Me Part 2, and I did a fight scene. And I fucked myself up.
With that contact?
No, because the dude didn't know what he was doing.
Mm.
But the contact I had already, part two. By part two, I had already knew how to wear the contacts.
Okay.
I was cool with it. I was able to, part one, I wore it a long time. Part two, it was just like an in and out because I was already used to it.
Yeah. So you didn't have to warm it up.
It wasn't bad, but my shoes were slippery. It was just all kind of bad elements, man. But you know, the movie's great. So y'all see that.
What's the name of that movie?
Call Me 2, The Purge.
Okay. Call Me 2, The Purge.
Yeah.
And they can find that where?
On Amazon.
Amazon
Prime.
All right.
Yeah. But Call Me 1, yeah. And then my third movie was shit, that's how y'all know a motherfucker got so much movies. I wanna say yeah, it was definitely Squad. I'm sorry, Squad. That's for free also on YouTube.
Squad.
My fourth movie was Jimmy Mac. That's when you're getting on Amazon Prime. You can see that on Tubi also.
Okay.
I got a lot of them, man. I ain't gonna keep.
You got a library.
Just look my name up. You'll see them motherfuckers.
Man. So, out of all your bodies of work, and I know they're all your babies, is there any ones that you're like, yeah, I laid this one out? Is it anyone that you're like, you know, which one is like one of the ones that you will say that you mostly put your Ray Mel Adams touch on, and you're really proud of the most?
Call me.
Okay.
It's a difference with that because when I put that eye in, I feel like a different person.
Okay.
That's when I can tell y'all, movie stars, it's a truth. When they're a superhero or something like that, or it's a difference. You can put clothing on and it's just like, okay, I'm a southerner, I'm a lawyer or whatever.
Right.
But when I put that dead eye in my eye, I'm your Nara.
Right.
My whole demeanor, everything changes.
How did he get that dead eye?
Yeah.
Bleach.
Somebody threw bleach in his eye?
Damn.
So this was a story you had written prior, like, at what point?
It was just something that I came up with that where he was something like a vigilante, someone to go to help, because they've been through some shit.
Okay.
But at that point, they weren't doing nothing but working on cars. Then he got a brother. His name is Cy. My bro Jamal plays that. He plays him. Both movies, mm-hmm. one and two. Also, he's in Jimmy Mac too. A lot of other things.
He should be. Shit.
No, Jamal's dope. He's dope.
Shout out to you.
Shout out to Jamal.
Yeah, Jamal.
What's Jamal's name?
Jamal. I don't put all this, you know.
Shout okay. out to
Jamal. But
that's
Jamal.
The character or the actor?
No, it's character. That's his name is Jamal, but the character is Cy.
Oh, the character is Cy.
Okay. Cy. He's my older brother in there.
Okay.
And my name is Yanara.
Yanara and Sai.
Word. Put them together, what that say?
Sayonara.
Right.
See you later.
Right. So, that's what that was written upon. Part one is, trust me, there are no home videos. You know, sometimes people looking to see, okay, I'm going to get a home video, not air. Real, like, Netflix worthy movies.
Oh yeah, no, yeah.
So you get your your gist out of them, watching them like, oh shit, I ain't know that. Oh man, he got, I'm so, you know, so I bring you there. Like I said, I got a lot of them, but a lot of them, another one I like is Taz. That's from my TV show.
Taz?
Yeah.
T-A-Z?
Yep. Z. Put another Z on there. Taz.
T-A-Z-Z.
Yeah.
Okay. Where can they find Taz at?
They can. You can watch that. I'd rather you watch it on Stash TV on YouTube.
Stash TV?
You ain't
got
to put Stash. You can just go to YouTube and put Heron Ave. You got 5 episodes to binge watch.
Yeah, I'm on like episode 4.
Yeah, Heron Ave is dope. Tune in if you don't know, that's something you definitely want to tune in to.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. The best thing I think I love about it is every episode I'm like, oh, I know them. I know them. I see my peeps.
Yeah, that's dope. Shout out to Lex Vegas, CJ Star.
Yeah, CJ Star, Timbuktu, Perry.
Timbuktu, you know. Yeah, Perry, yeah. Perry got killed, didn't he?
Keesily.
Perry got fucked up in the first one. Yeah. No, second one, I think.
Yeah.
He's an ox, though. Perry's a good actor.
Actor in the off, he does other things behind the scenes, too, don't he?
Yeah, I think he does, even with Vera Howard, I think, yeah. But he's one of those actors that... when you don't have to do a lot with. Some actors you gotta do a lot with. He's one of the ones that he understands, and it's like, okay, man, I need you to, you about to die, I'm sorry. You know.
Shout out to Perry Reed.
It's gonna be blood, and you know, shit gonna be, you know, you ain't gonna come back. Huh? You ain't come back. Huh? You not coming back.
I mean, you made it.
He's also a fellow comedian, too.
Yeah. If I do a zombie version, you know, bam. You bad.
Bam. Oh, man, he might be a problem, though, as a zombie. Some people, you know, like, I'm ready for a zombie apocalypse, and I have in my mind who's going to be, like, problems as zombies.
Oh, you know what? I never thought about that. Now I'm going to have to make me a zombie problem checklist.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, certain people, you'd be like, okay. But certain people, you'd be like, yeah, you're going to be an advanced zombie.
See,
and you're going to be a problem.
Yeah, some people are going to be, like, zombies. Everybody who work out.
Mm-hmm.
Problems. That's why I'm fuck with people who work out. When they work out, that's, you know, they're gonna be problems. They're gonna be trying to lift shit, bust through shit, run through walls, bust doors, all kind of shit like that. So, me, people like guns. I need something that's cutting, because you're gonna run out of bullets. I'm gonna still be slicing these motherfuckers. I need that. See, that's what I know in a zombie apocalypse.
Are they smart zombies ever? I mean, they're just like,
No. See, like, okay, so in the masses, they got those dumb zombies.
Aren't they in the crab in a barrel?
Yeah, but you know, like, if you know the person.
I mean, I didn't watch any of these things. Maybe they've made them smarter.
No, but you're right. Know. They are, mostly of them
vampires
are like.
Vampires are smart. Like,
most of
like
them are
vampires.
Like.
Yeah.
Shit. Them motherfuckers.
They got a code too. But like, back to the zombies.
Yeah.
Like you said, yeah, most of them, they don't want brains and this, that, and that. You shoot their head off, okay. But it's still some individuals, you be like, in the zombie apocalypse, you will be a problem. Like Big Laugh, Lafayette, he's going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah. I think I went to school with him, man.
Because he's just a big guy.
I think I went to school with him. I think we went to Jamerson before they done tore that school up.
Yeah.
If that's the same life,
yeah,
he was big all his life, bro.
Okay.
Like, he just one of them naturally big dudes. Just like, always wanted to work out. Just like, you'd be like, man, I don't want to lift no fucking weights, man. I just want to just like eat some pizza and
chill.
Just like chill.
Play the game.
Smoke weed. I ain't supposed to be smoking.
I mean, I want to do all that.
Yeah, he want to do healthy shit. It's like, nah, we're going to eat some broccoli.
I mean, you know, but
he's like I say, he's a Hercules. Yeah, he's a big motherfucker.
Yeah, he is.
He had one thing I was laughing at, though. It was like, he had put a post and said, these dudes was jumping a dude, and he was like, that ain't my style to jump. And no, it's not. He said, but I will fight five. And I said, yeah, this motherfucker will fight five motherfuckers. And if that ain't the right five motherfuckers, He probably whoop y'all. He probably give y'all some bullshit.
He gonna
y'all
give you be work,
like, man.
Work.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
and they be fucking around, be running. Like, so, and they somebody be like, "Who the fuck y'all? How many people y'all running from?" One.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. He ain't even chasing you. He walking to his car. It happens to be the same way you was running, motherfucker. It's, but you know, it's and what I see, I haven't worked with him yet though. But as a director and as a casting person. Man, him talk though,
mm-hmm.
but from when I see how he works, brother's dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's serious.
He's very coachable. Like you could tell him what you want, and he'll give it to you.
He tweaks it, and no, I mean he's not
straight by the
no. Yeah. That he's smart.
Yeah, yeah.
He comes and like yeah. okay, and he's ready to adjust and to be like so you can get a lot out of life.
Yeah.
I wouldn't keep putting him as gangster though.
Right.
Mm. I would switch him because he can do all that shit.
Oh yeah.
You don't want to keep him as gangster and
right.
and jazz and no. You want to let him be like how he just was a officer, a lawyer, shit mm-hmm. like that.
And Superman, he was a fireman.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the latest Superman.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
See, doing shit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't bar him, but you go ahead and spread his role out, and you test him.
Right,
you test him because mm-hmm. he want to be tested. He hungry. You let him be tested. Like, hey, play this lawyer that's scared
and right.
that, a big dude like that scared.
Right,
right.
Oh, he'll eat it up, bro.
Oh, yeah. He'll eat it.
Yeah,
equals
and the audience would too.
Yeah.
I mean, so that equals that Lafayette, like I said, would be a problem as a zombie.
Yeah,
I get you now. Yeah, I understand what you're talking about be a problem.
He'll be one of those advanced zombies that's not like her.
You might have had to shoot him a couple times.
Okay.
Just to slow him down.
Yeah.
I understand now what you're talking about. Like, he would definitely be a problem.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Timbuktu.
I don't know.
Timbuktu,
he'd be too fucking.
He'd be the friendly one, actually.
He'd be friendly and
he'd
hungry.
He'd
be your friend and eat you.
He would probably.
Timbuktu ain't playing.
He would like wait till you the last.
He'd be
one.
Friendly to your ass.
And
weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Hurry up because I'm getting hungry, Justin.
He was like, I'm still tired, but I will
eat another zombie before he'd eat me.
He'd try to warn you, but he said, hey, this shit about to go down, man. You keep on coming over here, man.
It's the inevitable.
Shout out to
you Tim. You all relaxed
Tim.
And shit.
When I seen him on it, I was like, oh, look at Tim. Look at Tim and that bitch.
Hey, Tim a beast, too. Tim. A lot of people are good actors, man, and sometimes we don't know it until somebody brings it up.
What's the young man's name that I asked you about on the telephone, man, that... And I said, yo, he does a great job acting. Young fella with the locks in Heroin Ave.
Oh, Brent.
Brent.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Dark Skin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Short locks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brent. Yep. Yeah, he's an ox.
Yeah.
He takes good directing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
shout out to you, Brett. I see you working, bro.
He's dependable.
I was watching the episode.
That's the main thing. You know, he's dependable. He's always there. You don't want a motherfucker who ain't ever there.
Right,
you
know? Right.
I don't want to get him confused again.
What?
I think he probably worked with Dobra.
He's worked with a couple people.
Yeah, well, that's Justin's movie right there. Okay. The last song, if you see it over there in the poster, if you look to your left over here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I had a few scenes. I had a few scenes. There's Lafayette. Yeah. Right there, yeah, yeah. That was my first acting. You know what okay. I mean?
I haven't been in any movies. I've just been in a couple of viral videos, but.
Yeah, you did some skits. Some skits.
No movies.
I did some skits.
Yeah. Trust me, man. I've had ideas, but I was trying to like, cause I tell him all the time, like a blueprint for a movie is Clerks. Like if you watch Clerks and it just minimal locations, it's all dialogue. It's got a few different characters. You know what I mean?
It's right.
Small cast. You know what I mean? And it's something. It's just a blueprint. Like if you want to focus on something for your first movie, you know, it can be. A 15-minute short film, 30-minute short, you know what I mean? Something like that, just to start. That's just a blueprint, I say, for everybody. And it just, plus, it's in black and white. They ain't even in color.
You know, what I always wonder is why when people always got an idea, it's not all the time, but fucking 9 times out of 10, they always say something about zombies.
Yeah.
Well, yo, hey man, I got a idea for a movie for you, man.
Right.
Hood zombies. They got COVID. And like, look, motherfucker, nobody want to see that shit.
Nobody want to see that shit.
I'm sorry, I respect the idea, bruh.
Yeah, nobody
people have people
see
that die
shit.
From COVID and all that shit. Nobody want to see that shit, man. I ain't gonna make no money, man. We ain't gonna be on the bullshit, man. Nobody want to act in that shit, man.
You don't want to date yourself with something like COVID. That's like comedians doing COVID
stupid
jokes.
Stupid ass shit, man. Like, you know why the fuck is we gonna shoot some zombies catching COVID?
Yeah,
it ain't gonna affect them. I thought.
Right.
How the fuck COVID gonna affect the zombies? What it's gonna do to them? They're gonna be sick?
Maybe a biological thing.
Or they gonna bite somebody and be like, you got COVID, I'm not gonna eat you.
Yeah. They're gonna be COVID and a zombie. Like, that nobody got time. That's a lot of shit going on in the movie,
right?
Man.
Right.
Yeah. They gotta live, right. They gotta catch zombie or COVID.
Yeah,
one.
Now they gotta worry about this other virus.
Like, ain't nobody got time for that shit. Why can't nobody come to me with, like, sometime, like, with some, like, man, like, you know, this love story, man, and, you know.
Because people ain't in love no more, man.
No, they gotta come with some shit like some zombie soldiers that had the insulin, but they hid it, and the hood dudes came and stole it and started passing it out to everybody in the hood. And then they were the heroes.
You know the budget on that? You know how many times you gotta put makeup on to make a zombie and do all that shit?
They don't give a fuck about the budget. They want you to make it.
You need a lot of zombies for a zombie movie.
Man,
you can't just have
they
a couple
want
of
you,
zombies.
The hood dudes want you to make it, and they gonna kill you if you don't.
What the fuck?
Hey, look, can we dive into Heroin Ave a little bit?
Heroin Ave?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like I saw that, and it's not, you know. It's a show for everybody.
I had to shut it off at 12:30 last night because I was on starting episode 4. I was like, I can't do it. I gotta go to sleep.
I gotta go to sleep.
But I was watching.
You know what? I saw your style and I talked to you on the phone about it, and I was like, man, it reminds me of like a New York Undercover. Not the premise of New York Undercover, but like your music choices. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, okay, so, you know, people already assume, like, if they knew you, they probably assume that you're going to have, like, hip-hop music playing through it.
I love it when they do that, because they wrong.
They very wrong, because this definitely...
I have what suits the scene.
Suits the scene.
It ain't about what I like. It's about what I know when I feel it on that scene, that what goes with that scene. If that scene needs a background or whatever, I don't care what somebody, like, he probably going to have some rap, and I really don't even listen to rap.
Mm.
So I be faking out. People be on banana peels all the time with me. You know, I listen to everything. It's not nothing. If it got a good beat and if it sound good and they talking good in it, I'll chat with it.
So
nice.
Your like your scene selection, like the way you shoot it, where did that come from? What influenced you on that?
I developed my own style that I didn't never know until a little while ago. It's called the RA production style. What I do is I take it.
Try to talk in the mic.
I take it and I'll get it to where if I'm filming today, I know, like, okay, I want to do a trick shot. I need a mid shot. I need it up close. I need a far away establishing shot, but I need it my way.
Right.
What's some, like, it's in Spike Lee, he has a special shot. I have special things that I may do to get me those shots. And a lot of people may think, like, he has multiple cameras, I'll use one.
Okay.
I gimbal a lot, so I'm able to get a lot, and I can switch angles, or I can keep the gimbal moving.
So people that don't know, the gimbal is like when the camera's actually on it. Is it the gimbal outfit, or is it just the gimbal stick?
I have either one, but I use the gimbal stick.
Okay.
I like the fly cam, but I try to use either one. The gimbal, you in the winter, you better put some gloves on because that's steel, and it, Jesus,
right. That's the inside shit, honey. So, that's the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So for people that don't know, the gimbal is like, it's a stick that has the camera on it. You can move it and turn it, and then the camera will stay steady. You could, you know, and the suit it looks like some Iron Man stuff. Like, you know,
right,
like,
just right there, like a.
It's the
like
best.
Yes. Yeah.
Best. Has an arm that comes out. You have another arm that attaches to it. You can either have a fly cam or a gimbal on, and you kind of like got an extra arm. You have three arms, like alien type shit. And but it's on your vest, and you can be all right with it.
So while you're directing, you're also operating this camera as well.
Yes, and I'm could possibly be one of the mains in the movie too.
Yeah.
So do you have it facing on your face or? Out and on your face, or how do you set that up?
Like else?
Just use a tripod or one of my actors or actresses loves to get camera credits, and they'll hold the gimbal.
Nice.
You know, they do the gimbal.
Right.
The tripod, I don't need nobody to hold it because it's already But they'll be doing the gimbal. That helps, but you know, a lot of times I'll put it on the tripod.
Well, look, you know, like, you know, Raymel Adams, you know, he's definitely a director, and he's very familiar with the equipment. Like when he came in, he it was like watching a superpower, because he was like, that sound is from this. You're gonna need these lights. This is that type of camera. It was like, who is this dude? No, I know that's what he did, but he was like boom, boom, boom.
Right.
Like almost firing it off like all at once. Like I first heard it was some feedback coming from the mics, and he knew exactly where it was, and it was just like, you know, none of this stuff is new to him because this is what he does.
Right.
You know, he's a movie maker. He knows what it takes. He knows what it don't take. But I just wanted to like get into like your style, like, you know, like, okay, when you said Spike Lee's signature style, like, he has that, like, look like the characters are floating.
Yes, but they're not moving. You're actually being pulled, and the camera's in front of you. I know how to do that trick, but I'm not going to disrespect him and do it.
No, I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
That's something that's, like, signature to Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, like, you got your own style, too.
Feet.
And you, what'd you call it? The
feet. You're going to see feet.
And you call it the
RA production style.
RA production style.
Yep. You're going to see, I'm going to gimbal this movie.
Okay.
You're going to see like moving shots, and I'm going to move with them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's not going to be something that's regular. I'm going to be moving with you. You know, I was told by great Mike Berry, you got to get off that tripod.
Shout out to Mike Berry.
He said, yeah, you can't be scared to get off that tripod.
Right.
He's a little older than me. He said, you can't get be scared. He came on one of my sets on Squad 2. He said, you can't be scared to get off that tripod. And meaning the gimbal, too, you know. You got to go freehand because the gimbal can fit everywhere, but the gimbal is mechanical. Your hand's not.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do different stuff. And when I did that, that dude's a hell of a director. because he directed me to get the shot. And, you know, I mean, I could have got it better, but I got it good, but I could have got it better.
What scenes would you say would, you know, like what type of scene would you say would be better to be like freehand holding the camera? Is it fighting scenes?
Yes.
Fighting scenes.
Yes, you can do it. Well, it depends on what you want to get out of it.
Mm.
If you're fast, mm-hmm. yes, you can do a fighting scene like that. But if you fighting scene, I would do it with a gimbal. There's different modes you have on a gimbal. I would put it on a loose mode, depending on what I want to get from that footage. You know, now they get like a clip snippet of what's going on in the fight. So you can either cut scene or you can go ahead and have them do the whole thing, but you always want to do the whole thing so you can get the good cut. So yes, I would use the gimbal to get everything up out of it. So you would run that, I would run that maybe 3 times. The gimbal loose, handheld, and a far shot
mm-hmm.
of just everything going, just how it's going.
Right.
Whether it looks good or not, just keep going with it because I got the other cuts to cut in when you're going that way with it.
Mm-hmm.
So how important and how good is it to have the proper equipment for the sound? Because
right, yeah.
like in certain things, it's very important to listen to hear the actors. But you want it to be realistic, like you're on the street, so you need that background for the street. Like, explain that to me.
If you code with it, you want to have something that's decent with the sound. I'm not about to say good because I don't want people to, I don't want to deter nobody.
Right.
Right.
Even if you got a $3 mic, I still want you to do it.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta,
if you
you gotta
start
just somewhere.
Your phone,
yeah.
I still want you to do it.
Go back and watch episode one, baby.
For the Midnight Paco Podcast.
Yeah, the Midnight Paco Podcast. Because
okay, yeah,
I don't want to put no dirt on your shit because our stuff was wild.
Well, what I use is a mixer and I use some other tricks. But there's stuff out there you can clean your stuff up with. So
yeah.
don't feel like, oh, I got this in there and this and that. You got to reach out to people. You got to look up stuff. So whatever kind of mic you got is a good mic.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as a bad mic unless it
right.
ain't working.
Right. Just start doing something.
Just start doing something and work with it.
You'll
get there. You'll get there. Listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, you know what the fuck you was saying when you was saying it when you was recording it. If it don't sound like that on the camera, then you got to do some fucking work.
Right.
You know, do a couple of them.
Yeah.
You know, if you're practicing, you practice. Practice, though. Practice. Don't just fucking jump on the damn set and say, I'm making a movie and you ain't never turned this damn camera on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't set yourself up for failure like that.
I got a dumb question. Have you ever...
That's the only dumb question if you wouldn't have asked that.
All right, bet.
Facts.
So I got a question. Like, when you... Have you ever, like, saw some completed work and needed the sound done over? Or did you ever call in the actor to say it again? Or how did that work? Like,
yes. I never did a voiceover like that. I did voiceovers like as in I wanted to add it.
Mm-hmm.
Not something I need you to do it over again. I wanted to add it. Like I'm going to have my wife add something into the movie we just completed. No, she already did it.
Can you speak on it?
Yeah, I can speak on it. We own it. So, then, yeah, I ain't going to get in trouble.
What's the movie?
It's called Residence Kids.
Residence Kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, man. So, I heard a little bit about it. So, be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, Residence Kids will bust your head
off. Sure. Right.
I'm never really, like, voiceovers and all that. I know how to do them. They're not hard or whatever. You spend some time with the actor. You got a couple ways you can do it. They got to look at the screen and see themselves doing that or whatever and kind of get the same feel. Or you go ahead and say, hey, just say this shit. Let me line that shit up, man. And
right.
back kind of turn. Get that shit off. You know?
So,
but if you got a close-up, then you fucked. They got to go ahead and go for what they know.
Right.
So, yeah. All right.
So you can add that shit. You can just
you can mute the whole shit.
Yeah,
you can go ahead and put that shit in there, man. But.
So, like, for Residence Kids, like, all right, so it's not like... So how do you pick a soundtrack for that? Like, how did that go?
That's just a gift from God. I just go with the scene
mm-hmm.
and what should be in there, what they're doing, what they're going through, how they should feel. You know, all those elements come into play.
Mm. Yeah. Because, you know, like, reason why I'm asking, because it's like the soundtrack or the background noise or the sound can, or the music can add theatrics. Or,
oh, yes. It will take and or it will add. You can fuck it up. You can make it up.
Yeah.
Very bad. So that's when the most important thing and the most important information I gave you with the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You look at your scene and what is your scene doing? Don't just say, I want this song in this motherfucker.
Right.
My homie gave it to me, so I'm going to throw this motherfucker in. Yeah, but your shit is shit now, man.
Yeah.
You know, your homie's song ain't shit and your movie's not shit, but you put both of them together in the wrong scene, they both are shit.
Right. You got a shitty movie with a shitty soundtrack.
One scene, fuck your whole movie.
A shitty soundtrack.
If you would have switched it to the other scene before that, asshole, you would have been dope.
Right.
So it's right. All in all, if you want to look at your scene.
So speak on that too. So, as somebody who's self-taught, you know.
I've never went to school for this. Ain't nobody come over my house and say, Ray, I'm about to show you how to edit and use this camera, and I'm gonna show you how to direct. I'm gonna show you how to act. I'm gonna show you how to write this shit. This ain't the right. No, I sat on my fucking couch, man, and learned that shit, man, and disciplined myself.
University of YouTube in this bitch, huh?
Yeah.
YouTube, you learn everything, man. I did a lot.
Trial and error.
I was going to say trial and error.
YouTube only going to, you know, basics. It only got so far, but you had to do it yourself. But I did a lot of trial and error. Yeah. Like, my first movie, I was in a blizzard, rolling with snow, jumping on the windshield on a laptop, downloading the movie to show to the people that had bought over 250 tickets.
Whoa. Slow down. You had a sold out theater.
He's just talking like this is a normal.
Yeah, he was like, I got some coffee. No. So you said you had a sold out theater.
Yeah.
And you were in the snow, a blizzard.
On my way while people are already there.
With no movie uploaded.
No movie uploaded.
In a blizzard.
In a blizzard.
Because we're in Cleveland.
Whoa. Yeah.
In a blizzard.
In December.
Damn. Cleveland blizzard in December. On the way to a sold out theater with no movie uploaded.
That's a sign that the city messes with you because, you know, you brought people out. You had 200 plus people at a theater.
It gets deeper.
In a blizzard.
Talk about it.
I had an encore show. Another over 250 people came.
So after the first showing, you had an additional.
I had an encore.
In a blizzard?
No, it wasn't a blizzard. I did it in the spring.
Thank God.
So you did scheduling.
Let's talk about that blizzard show.
So
you were on your way
to the theater.
It
wasn't uploaded. It wasn't on the platform where they needed it. You can deliver it in DVD or flash drive. I was delivering it in DVD. I was copying it on the way, driving in the blizzard, bad blizzard. Like the snow was deep. It was at least 4 feet. I don't know. It looked like it was 4 feet. It was big. I didn't have a truck or nothing, but it was big.
It's Cleveland blizzard.
But
regardless.
I got there with two CDs.
What?
Got there with two CDs.
Whoa.
That played. The audience saw the movie.
Nice. So success.
Yeah.
Obviously. It sucks though. What coming movie down was to
that?
The wire, man.
That was Cops. My first movie.
That was Cops. Right. So
K-O-P-P-S.
K-O-P-P-S. Where can they find that at?
In my library. I ain't released it to y'all yet.
Okay.
Somebody probably saying fuck you or some shit, but it's cool. High five you, whatever, it's all good. But it's being remastered. So my first movie is not garbage. Don't get that shit twisted. It's dope. But I want to do it better because I'm a better editor now and I can see things that I didn't see then.
Right.
Hook y'all up on some good entertainment.
Everybody does a re-edit or a remaster or some shit.
Yeah. They don't be honest about it, but I'm being honest about it now. That shit needs a little bit of. TLC.
Like you said, it was your first one. You know what I mean?
It's my first one. Mm-hmm. And man, I got shit, people walking around. No, that shit dope in a motherfucker.
I had
100
people cast.
But it's
shit that you see, is what I'm saying.
Right.
It's
stuff that you see. I got to get this shit together so I can show it to people that's dope.
You're the creator.
And see that.
So, yeah.
Then people will be like, damn, this is his first movie. Because what shot is shot? I can't change the shot.
Yeah, but you can change the edit.
Right.
That's the thing, man.
That's the best thing.
When you teach yourself, you realize
like, oh shit, this is
this shot or this shot from this angle.
It's angled, yeah.
I mean, you had. That's why you film multiple angles and multiple things from the same shot.
You got more to decide. It, like, oh, I'm going to go with this angle. You always get
a close-up of something.
You have. Yes. I learned that in my first movie throughout almost half of it. Like I said, God rest his soul. Older guy, Ryan Miller.
Shout out to Ryan Miller.
After a guy ditched us and wasn't going to film, Ryan Miller, he only did concerts. So it was a battle. Mm. I mean, I'm talking about you can jump over this way. You out of the frame.
Oh, okay. Filming.
Because he wasn't panning. Yeah, he was used to doing the show. Yeah, so you gotta give him some. And I can dig it, man.
But, I mean, honestly, that's kind of like how we saw it, too. If you just film it within the frame and just edit, you know what I mean?
But you're doing a movie, so you're going to have to move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the way you...
But he was older, his leg, he had a bad leg, and he wasn't on that shit, but he's used to doing concerts.
Yeah.
So it was
static,
different.
Static, boy, he's static right
here. He set that camera, throw it on record, and he do what he going to do.
Yep.
Y'all do what y'all do. He already did what he did. Pay me my money, I'm out. You know, but
oh, I'm not moving. We ain't panning shit.
But Ron, that I'm gonna say, young man, he battled with us because we were having some late nights, and he started moving. We started getting aspect because he didn't know how to shoot a movie either. Mm. He was there to help. He knew how to make the stuff in the camera and make it look good and press record.
Yeah.
And he was learning my camera all at the same time.
Okay,
we all were learning it. So. That man, I can't do nothing but do kadoodles for him, man. And when I seen that he passed away, that broke my heart.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Because I know what he did for us. Now, it was a different thing than somebody say that, hey, I knew Ron. He said it such. No, he helped me with my first dream.
Right.
Being an actor was my dream.
Yeah.
So he helped me with something that's gonna be a forever. He helped me with something that I dreamt about as a little boy.
Right.
As being in a movie. So there's no godly way that I cannot acknowledge that man.
Yeah. No, I get it, man.
So
the gentleman that you were that shot your first thing.
Uh-huh.
What was his name again?
His name is Ron Miller.
Ron Miller. Mm-hmm. So he was just doing the frames, and it was like it was definitely a technique that you could probably put in your toolbox, because even though you're panning now,
I mean, that's just like the way. Just set it, film it, record it. You know what I mean?
I would say the terminology, the lingo, I learned from him because the frame.
Yeah, you didn't.
You from the hood? What the fuck is a frame?
You talk about glasses frame, picture frame,
right? So the window frame, and you know that even in some movies now, okay, I need y'all to stay in the frame. We're not moving. This is a certain kind of shot I want. I want y'all to be still, motherfucker. Don't be jumping around and doing backflips at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, y'all gonna be on the couch chilling and stuff like that. So yeah, you need it like that sometimes.
Right.
You know, sometimes it is what it is. You know, unfortunately, you know. He was a great man that got me started on a good foot, but I knew that we needed some close-ups, so I grabbed the camera like, right. All right, Ryan, I'm gonna go ahead and get my knees down here. You ain't gonna be able to get down. It's all good. About that time we was almost done, but he did his thing. And I learned a lot.
But like you said, it made your dream come true. You know what I'm saying?
Dream come true. Yeah. He had a big contribute to it.
Yeah.
You know, a very big ass contribute to it.
So how does that? You know what I mean? So you want to go ahead, Cordell? You want to say something?
Well, I was just gonna say like with Heroin Ave, it definitely looked like you were like one of those people that like took advantage of the real estate that you had. Like you took advantage of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, your actors and actresses, like, I mean, just walk me through that. Like, how did you set that up, and how did you make it work, like, to fit what you were looking for?
Well, like I say, all this is God-driven. All this is a God gift, God talent, and I say that because I don't want nobody to feel no certain way as when I say this, is because I can write a movie in 2 weeks or less. Mm-hmm. I can film a movie in like 2 weeks. it's just scheduling and yada 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 I can write a little bit, cast my characters, then write for them. I'll see the people and the person they are, and that's how they're able to portray that person, because they don't even know they're portraying them. They're
right, the same person they are,
you know. And then I enhance the person, though. I may make that person some gangster shit, or I may make that person some nice shit. You know, but you know, and they might be a mean motherfucker, you know, some people, you know. But I just know how to put the scenes with what I want, and I'm not afraid of the camera. Sorry, audience, my motherfucking side itching.
So no, you good? You good?
Bit my motherfucking. Like my wife would say, Washington, put some lotion.
Put some lotion on.
I'm fucking clean though.
No, you know what? I'm over here chuckling and laughing, and I'm only laughing.
I wonder if you're gonna say that shit. We want to laugh too.
I'm gonna tell you why I'm laughing. Cause I'm like, yo. I had a conversation with Ray Mel, and I'm like, yo, man, I could do whatever you want. Put me in, and he was like, yeah, I'll put you in. You're going to die, though.
I probably was drunk, man.
He was like, yeah, you're going to definitely, yeah, you know, I'll put you in, but you're going to get killed. And I was like, killed. That's why I was laughing, like.
Somebody gonna fuck you up.
Yeah, that's what he said, but I'm like, okay, you know, I'm cool with that. Like that's why I was laughing, because when I asked you, like, like when you take
this initiation, see how most fucked up you can get. That determines your next role.
Hey, I'm with it. I'm just saying. And so when I asked that question and you was breaking it down, that's the first thing I thought of. Like,
damn, I gotta change my approach.
Oh, I'm gonna write him in to die.
I gotta change my approach.
He was like, "Yeah, I'll put you in there. You gonna get fucked up. You gonna die. But yeah, I'll put you in."
I gotta change my approach. I'm gonna be talking at the picnic table. Hey, man, I'm gonna be in a Ray Adams movie, man. I'm gonna get fucked up though. You know, me too. You getting fucked up too? Yeah, I'm getting fucked up too. He's gonna fuck me up bad. Oh yeah, yo, your ear coming off? My head coming off.
I'm like, I'm gonna die.
He gonna fuck me up. My legs and shit gonna be all in the back. Man, listen. I don't know. Maybe he ain't gonna do your legs like mine, but you know, maybe next movie. But I'm fucked up this one though.
Yeah, man.
You
know, so I was always, you know, and I always wondered like how you did that. Like for the scenes I saw that you shot outside, and we had a prior conversation to, you know, filming this podcast, I was just like, yo, my only pet peeve was the car was dirty, the window was dirty. And you was like, that's reality. And I'm like,
that's reality.
And he broke it down, he explained it to me, like, you know, for each character, it may be different.
Right.
Because
if you're a lawyer, then yeah, your window's probably clean. You know, he probably keeps his car clean, but all lawyers ain't clean either. Some of them got fucking McDonald's bags and boxes, Big Mac and shit all in their car and all that. So you do all that, and it's just like, no pun intended to nobody. I don't know if I want to, you know, fuck it, man. You know, a lot of filmmakers always film in 60.
Okay.
Thinking that shit look good and it's all clear. That's for a fucking TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a TV show. I didn't even do my TV show in 60. I'm looking at y'all.
What's 60?
60 frames. The shit is like a Martin. That's like for Martin or something. That kind of TV show. Okay. Some kind of sitcom. Yeah. Not a TV show. Sitcom and TV show are two different things, all right?
Yeah.
Y'all got to do your research. Sitcom is something that they sitting down. Yes, you can do that in 60 frames because you want to see everything in focus. You're not really zooming in. I'm not. And if you notice, Martin, you never zoom in on that.
Mm-mm.
There's no too much close-ups. The close-ups are zoomed in post because they're kind of more blurry. The quantity is going down. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's all shot in 60 frames.
So 60 would be like soap operas?
Nope. Soap operas is in movie mode.
Okay.
They smart about it. I wouldn't shoot my TV show in 60 frames.
Okay.
If I was doing a sitcom, then I would do it in, like, if I was doing some kind of girls thing sitcom, then I would do it in 60 frames.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not zooming in, I'm trying to get them, I'm getting them doing this, so everything in focus. I need everything in focus.
They're not
thinking about that. So when you want to do in movie mode, you need to do it in movie mode. I'm not going to say it on there, you motherfuckers. I thought y'all was going to get my recipe. I'm quick with it. You ain't getting that shit, but you need to do it in movie mode. And my movie mode is the RA mode, and I can't tell y'all.
Keep your secrets.
Tune in. Y'all gotta see, you know, like, watch all of his things, but like, what's available. One of the things that Jay and I was like, you know, binge watching was heroin app.
Yeah. I mean, it may be biased because I know a lot of people ended up being in that.
That's but it was still dope, though. Like, even if you didn't know them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, it's only a bonus that
we're like, doing. I was just sitting right there.
And it shot in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So I don't know about the trailer, though. I mean, the thing. That wasn't shot in Cleveland, was it?
What is the
intro?
The intro.
Yeah.
Was that in Cleveland, too?
Yeah. You ever been on Pain?
Yeah, that was Pain.
You ever sat down that motherfucker for a minute, like stop just for 2 minutes. All you need is 2 minutes. Shit,
I used to work at a homeless shelter.
Mm. Oh yeah, just lock your doors though. You know, a motherfucker gonna jump in. You don't even know him.
Jesus.
You might be.
So that was Pain. That was because
are you my Uber?
Look, and once again, I said it on.
No, I ain't gonna be saying that. You'll be lucky if you say that shit.
I said this on the last episode. I think I'm Mr. Cleveland. But when I saw that intro, I'm like, I'm looking at.
Of course, it's Cleveland, man.
It didn't look like that.
Why were you filming in Cleveland?
I drive Lyft, so when I was driving Lyft, I get a chance to look at shit.
Okay.
So I see shit that a lot of people don't notice, and Cleveland is a gym.
It is.
You see shit that you're like, wait a minute, where am I? I'm still in Cleveland. Okay, I didn't do no orders. That's. You know, but and see, that's all I see now. Me, a filmmaker, or me and my wife drive.
Mm-hmm.
All I see is movies.
Right.
I don't mention it all to her. I ain't gonna destroy mine.
Yeah, you see life in a whole different way now.
But I see movies.
Yeah.
I might see even with my daughter. I told her this is when we was doing Resident Kids before she even started filming. I said, hey, that's a good spot for y'all to be walking past.
Mm.
Just a walk past. It was a fucked up house.
Yeah.
The house was, I don't know what the fuck. I don't know if it was still standing or what.
Crazy.
It was,
yeah.
It was just
look
a big
you,
house that was just
I got
different.
The scene.
Had a different kind of steps. Like it was, the steps can't be removed.
Right.
They're part of the concrete of the sidewalk.
Wow.
So it was different.
What's
was
the title of that again?
Residence Kids.
Y'all look out for that one. It sounds like I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. So in Heroin Ave, there was a scene. I forget what episode.
All the scenes.
I know, but episode 3, there was arguing and yelling outside when the police were arresting. You know, we're not.
I was watching the other day.
Some
kids when they was just pulling them over
for fake
speeding us.
And I'm
shit.
Just like, I'm glad. I wonder if the neighbors called the real cops.
You know what we did for that scene?
Yeah, what'd you do for that? Because there was a lot of yelling. I'm like, that's a good. I'm just thinking movie style.
I had the
style.
House over there, and there were some kids outside.
Okay.
And I approached the kids. And I asked them, did you want to be in a TV show?
Get the fuck out of here.
And they said, yeah. I said, this is what I want y'all to do. I had just thought of that. That wasn't scripted.
Okay.
No, because it looked real.
Yeah.
All that was supposed to happen was the cops were supposed to roll down there and pull them over for that.
Okay.
But when I seen them kids outside, I said, hey, since I'm shooting and they're going to be in the camera, I can't tell them to move.
Okay, right.
I might as well put them to work.
Okay.
So I said, hey. Why don't y'all be like y'all recording and be like they always pulling people over and all that shit?
That shit was dope.
Yeah,
it was
genius. Nice.
And it looked, and it, you know what I mean?
So no, it was
like,
legit.
Yeah, it was legit. Yeah,
so,
that's dope.
And they was little kids and they was talking and I said, go ahead, it's free, it's free game. Y'all say what y'all want to say.
Yeah.
It was all ad-lib.
So I had
my actors, I said ad-lib with them. And then after y'all ad-lib with them, get back on track.
Yeah, and then
go with the script. And they did it.
Yeah, they did great.
Like I said, you got so much stuff out there. But tune in to Heroin app.
You'll binge watch that.
I got
another one real quick before we, you know. So you started later, it sounds like. Like you transitioned more into movies and everything. But like growing up, what was your inspiration? Like, did you watch, like, I know not being a director, you know, because it's hard, you know, I guess. Your passions were making movies. So, yeah, what inspired you to even, like, do any directors come to mind or, like, anybody you look up to or the way
it's
they
a
filmed?
A lot of people.
Or?
One movie that really made me make movies and knew, I can honestly say, there's a lot of people. But I'm going to go ahead and, you know, my family always been behind me. Mm-hmm. Always, my whole family, like, used their house.
That's
everything.
Important.
Like
yeah,
mom,
important,
grandma,
sure.
My dad, all of them. They all come to my movies at the theater. They come to my comedy shows. They always,
nice.
You know. So,
yeah.
That family support. I thank God for that, man. That I'm mm-hmm. able to get that and that they do that. My wife and her family. Like our families are big, and all of them come together. They come support. They come, man. We come bring our shit, man. We be suited and all
that's
that
important.
Shit, man.
That's important.
Very important.
But when damn man, you know, we've been doing shit, man. Y'all get that? What we was talking about?
Like who inspired you? Right.
Okay.
Other than, you know, your family was big in it, but like as far as directors or like anybody, like
inspiring
to want to make. You said movie.
I was younger, man, and this is all right. This is a cool story.
Let's go.
This is a cool one.
Yeah.
This is before my little brother was born, and I was on the east side with my friend Jimmy, who's at his grandmother's house. One time before then, his mom took us to see the movie Wood.
The Wood. Okay.
When we walked out of the movie theater, as a young kid, I looked up at her and I said, you know, I called her Aunt D. I said, Aunt D, Aunt Darlene, I'm going to be on TV one day.
Nice.
Mm.
And I kept walking. She said, out of nowhere, boy, you said that. She never forgot it. She comes to my stuff too, okay. Now, this time we're on the east side. Now, me and Jimmy, we went to the movies. It's fucking thunderstorm and we missed the fucking bus. We in trouble. Like, we didn't tell nobody where we told them what was going. We was late. I don't think we told nobody. We didn't tell nobody we was late. And it was just all fucked up, man. And we went to go see Kevin Costner movie, Waterworld.
Why? No, I'm kidding.
We liked it.
I never seen it.
I was going to say Dancing with Wolves.
But my little brother was born. Little brother was born that same day, and I missed it.
Oh, wow.
You know, okay. I was supposed to be at home.
Right.
So all that happened in that day, and I didn't even know it until we got picked up because we couldn't get the bus. We missed it, and it was raining, pouring down, and we got fucking cussed out.
Mm.
I would have rather walk.
Right.
But the moral of the story is...
Mm-hmm.
Is my first Hollywood movie was I was in Kevin Costner's movie.
Right.
Years later.
Wait.
Years later, I met Kevin Costner for real. And talked to him just like how we sitting right here.
Yeah.
Draft Day. You can check that out. I'm in that.
You're in Draft Day?
Yes, sir.
Nice. Congratulations. Thanks. That's in Cleveland, too.
Yes.
That's dope as hell.
So
nice.
I met Kevin Costner. I talked to him just like that. I told him the same story, what we just said.
Okay, nice. That is great.
So that story is a good story.
Yes, that's it is. Like I'm sorry, Kevin Costner and Waterworld.
That's all right.
I'm not
Rotten Tomatoes fuck y'all shit up and all that shit, man.
Yeah.
A lot of people
dog it for some reason. I don't know why. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Kevin Costner tall though.
Is
he?
Yeah, he ain't no short dude.
I thought he was.
I liked him in Tin Cup.
His extra looked just like him too.
He was
fucking tall. I don't know if they use the same one all the time.
His name is Robert Zimmerman.
But he was. Oh. He was.
I don't know. I like Tin Cup. That was good.
No, for the part I know of him, I can say with the horse's mouth, Kevin Costner's a good guy.
That's awesome.
I'll go on camera and through this mic and say Kevin Costner's a good guy. He didn't show no. The man came over and chitter-chatted with me. He had no security with him.
Nice.
There was no security around. So it wasn't nobody there to get to him.
There shouldn't be.
He was cool. You know what I mean? He came over in this trench coat, dressed for the set, and he talked and it was like, yeah, I love how you act sober, man. I can't wait to see how you act drunk because I had to drink. So one scene I was sober, another drink we was
at the party. What do you mean?
So you had several scenes in this movie.
They said you
had a speaking role.
You drink. Liquor.
That was in the script?
To drink? Yes. If you were like, if they had you waiting.
Yeah.
And you have it in your hand and you end up drinking shit.
It wasn't apple juice?
No.
They didn't have fake shit?
No. See, people be lying to y'all.
Whoa.
So if you're done, when they about to call.
That's a good movie. Congratulations.
You see people, you see the ladies or whoever around you, and they bring you another one. And replace it how you had it, and it's all like that.
What?
When you go up to the bar, when we went up to the bar in the movie,
Uber, not
it was
for
real
every
drink
scene.
Coming out of it. It wasn't you ain't getting all fucked up, but they have food. I mean, talking about that's like steak and chicken dinners, all that
you
shit.
You talking about craft service?
Yeah, it's sitting there all day. How you eat as much as you want? However, your stomach do.
I mistakenly walked up on a craft service, but that's another story. But
wait a minute, what?
They were. You have. It was one of those experiences to be one of those people.
Nice.
I had a trailer. We was when I first came up, we had to go sign in. You go to hair, makeup, and wardrobe. They're all separate, but that's the line you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Hair is last.
You said Field of Dreams.
Huh?
Field of Dreams.
No. Draft Day.
Draft Day.
Yeah, Draft Day.
Oh, okay. The fuck?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck Field of Dreams is. Yeah, that's why I said, huh, again, the Field of Dreams.
I mean, Field of Dreams is a good movie, too, but, you know.
Draft Day.
Yeah, he was in Cleveland.
But you go in, you know, you get your, you sign
what
in.
What year was that?
2000.
What year was that? That
wasn't
was
like in the 90s,
didn't
right?
they have the first pick?
No, that was in the 2000s.
Didn't they have the first pick that year? Or were they talking about, like, moving up or some shit? What? Wasn't that the Mayfield year?
2000, I don't know, something.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I was just trying to, you know, put the time,
but it was a good ass movie. It was
dope.
It was fun.
Is that the one that put you in the sack?
That was like I was already had it planned, but I didn't make my production company yet. But that made it like I knew kind of what to do and kind of, but you have to know. I wasn't in the inside, but I'm a good looker.
Okay.
Hollywood don't play.
Right.
But
you had a speaking role, though.
Yeah, but they don't play. They cuss some people out. They cuss some people out. I wasn't like talking like how we was that long, but you know, it just some, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
But you know, what I said some shit, and I talked to Kevin Costner, and we get Jennifer Gardner, too.
Okay.
So
that's dope on a resume.
I got to walk. Yeah, my resume dope. I can tell you that. My resume ain't no my work resume and my acting resume, motherfucker. I ain't no
nice.
No, so yes. It is what it is. I ain't trying to brag, but I'm telling the motherfucking truth.
Hey, it is what it is, man.
So
it ain't bragging when it's the truth.
Yeah, right.
That was a good experience, man. They treated a brother right.
Good.
I got chauffeured. I had to park somewhere, and it was a nice parking lot. It was nice pavement. They just did the concrete, and they told me where the bus was. I got in the bus to have some peanuts and shit, and, you know, little bitty-ass can of Pepsi and shit. It was cool. It was a little bitty-ass midget.
That was a mini Pepsi before mini Pepsi was out.
Yeah, it was a midget one. But we was only going down the street. Yeah, we was only going like 10 minutes.
It was like a little
set. Yeah, some shit like that. But when we got there, you know, you go to this trailer, you go sign in, you be in the pavilion and shit, because it was nice outside. You know, you have your stuff that's with you. You know, you cool. You sign in, and they got your name. All right, cool. How you doing, Mr. Adams? You know, and all that. You know, you go get your clothes, and let's see what you got. And, know, we got you. You know, they take the new clothes out. Snap the price tag off of them and say, here, you go put this on. You go on the trailer, pop, 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 put it on. And they go ahead and look at you. You don't need no makeup. You look fine. You know, they do my hair. You know, my brush the tips or whatever. All right. You know, and when you go in, you go in. You know, once you're on set, though, you're on set.
Nice.
That's why it'd be, you know, people don't know it'd be a long time. Once you're on there, you're there. You ain't no walking out, I got a piss, ain't no ain't.
Oh,
ain't
wow. No. So you better do that before you go.
Oh, no. You got a piss. Your bladder's good, right? Well, it will be after this, motherfucker.
I gotta go before it starts, baby. So first, hold on, real quick.
Everything you do, you wanna go ahead and do it beforehand because it's all there for you. If you're hungry, go ahead and eat.
But wait a minute, you mean I can't run to the bathroom real quick?
If it's a cut, you don't wanna leave because they might need to do it again if that shit happens.
Oh, for the scene itself. Yeah, I get it.
When they cut, you know, you might be like, we're gonna switch it up and you missed it. You come back doing it the same way.
No, I get that.
You fucking fine.
So if your brain is anything like mine, by you being a creator and a person that creates things, like, I know you were on that set and I know you did what you were supposed to do, but I know you were also like observing everything, taking everything in, seeing how they do stuff. How was that process for you on that set? What did you take away from that set that you use today?
I take how they did it and the sequences they do it to make when I need some certain sequences to come out right. And that's the Hollywood style that make a lot of mines come out good. But I went to Tyler Perry Studio in 2019. I did some film work. That was my main.
Talk about that. Yeah, how was that experience at the Tyler Perry Studios?
Only got a little bit that I can say about that. But
okay.
That was my main learning experience. That was okay. Right before COVID 2019. I caught COVID down there and brought it back and gave it to everybody.
Carrier.
Good luck.
And spreader.
Congratulations. I'm sorry. But,
it was worth
you have
it.
To be.
It's worth it.
No.
You have to be. Nobody died.
There
you
we
have
go.
To be.
Happy ending.
Strict. You have to be strict, but you have to be understanding. You have to understand people's time. You have to respect people's time. But you have to not allow so much shit on your set, or your movie gonna come out exactly like you're getting on your set, like shit. A lot of times, us as writers, filmmakers, our stuff don't come out how we got it in our head, and that's understandable. You know, it'll break you down, man. But don't let it. You got to keep going.
Right.
But you got to control your set. And you got to give yourself time to think if this is how it's going to go. When you have, everybody don't have a lot of stuff that I have that's in my corner. But let me quickly put myself in the shoes of somebody who don't have nobody in their corner. But you have God in your corner and you have yourself. So you'll have to keep pushing. You'll have to validate yourself. You can't look for everybody to validate you.
Right.
You're going to ask people to validate you, and people are going to say, that's a piece of shit, and it's going to bring you down. So why even ask them?
Right.
So my advice to you is, if you know and if you like your shit, then it's good. If you did it, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a fuck if nobody liking it, because guess what? It's some people that don't like my shit, and they're entitled to. It's all good. That's why it's their opinion.
Right.
But for every one or two people, that's like 4-5 fucking million people watching my shit on TV, so
right.
I don't give a fuck about them people.
You know what? One of the things that I'm taking away from this interview, and you know, before, and thank you for giving us your time, by the way.
For sure.
One of the things that you said, and you touched on it, you went past, but it was very important. You said your family always supported
always,
you.
Always, yeah.
And so, like, moving forward, like, you know, like, you know, we got to do better. When we know better, we do better. Like, as parents and as, like, older people that's, like, supporting the youth, don't spit on their dreams. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, don't do that.
Yeah.
His parents supported his dreams and
don't
is, like...
stupid-ass shit.
You know what I tell my son? I always told him to go for his dreams, because you can always end up with one of these lame-ass jobs, because that's all these jobs are jobs. They're jobs to pay the bills. The jobs to pay for what you need until what your dream is pays for everything.
You gotta go for what you got, man.
Yeah.
Because for the simple fact, man, if you don't, then what you got?
I mean, until you can. I'm saying, so, as a kid, if you're staying with somebody and living with somebody, do your damnedest to try it for your dream until you have to get a real job. And then when you have a real job, you do that after your real job. You know what I mean?
You keep fighting
for said dream, but try it as early as you can, is what I'm saying.
I can say, my mama is subscribed to my YouTube channel.
That's what's up, yeah.
She just learning how to do the all that shit, but, you know, it ain't been years since she's been doing it, but she know how to text and all that shit. You know, I'm 45, so, you know, I'm talking about my mama, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
She older, you know what I mean? She know how to text and all that shit, you know what I mean? But when, if I drop something on YouTube, I send it to her, but I drop something, she hitting me up, like, I seen that on YouTube, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
That means a lot to me, man. 100%, you know, this, you know, Residence Kids, I'm gonna close y'all out with this. You know, Residence Kids, I was blessed. I was blessed on everything. Let's get that on the table. I was blessed on everything. Even the most thing was waking up this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But
definitely,
Residence Kids, I have my mother-in-law in there. I have my aunt. I have my daughter, my stepdaughter. I have a host of friends. Who else I got in there? But for me to have those people in there,
right?
That's like, that says a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's like I'm
telling you right now,
a time capsule. And that's just
they put their time
have
to come. And they rose ain't just like they walking past. Right. I'm going to tell you all that right now. Right. Their roles is very efficient.
Well, I would hope so. It's somebody, so, you know, because you put them, you know. Well, no, it's your daughter, right?
Well, yeah, my daughter. Oh, yeah. My daughter's a main character. What I'm talking about, my mother-in-law, my aunts, they got some efficient. But my daughter, she's a main because she's on the poster.
Okay, she's on the poster.
But no, she's the one who was recording the shit. So, but no, that's just a blessing to me.
Nice.
You know, and then my wife helped produce it and stuff like that, and for her to come on the scene one time a little bit to see me, I was actually on set and I was doing some stuff.
Yeah,
Muay Thai,
whatever you call that, or whatever. Bands. I did some.
You know what? Like once again, shout out to Raymel Adams Support System for not spitting on his dreams. He's living proof that, you know, anything can be done anywhere, because we in Cleveland.
Yeah,
you know, people. You know, they don't talk entertainment and make movies. And, you know, it's their reality. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like, you know, you go to school or you get a good job and, you know, things like that. But, you know, it's okay to think outside the box. It's okay to have other desires and other dreams to do other things.
Yeah, I want to say this too real quick before, you know. Congratulations, man, because you've brought your own thoughts, your own ideas, and you've brought them to life. You know what I'm saying? And it's something for somebody to think about stuff and say, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. But no, this is something you've said, no, I'm going to do this shit. And you actually wrote everything down. You came up with these ideas. You got individuals, you know, people around you, whatever it may be, to partake in your idea.
Yep.
Filmed it. Learned all this stuff. Edited it all together in a great way.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, added other things to it and put it out there, and it takes a lot of dedication. It's, you know what I mean, it's not something that people, you know, normally in a regular life just do, you know what I'm saying. It's something you were dedicated to, and congratulations and continued success for sure.
When people, they be sarcastic and you ask them how they doing, they be like, living a dream.
Right.
Motherfuckers ain't living a motherfucking dream.
But you could literally say that.
Yeah.
And you making people a part of your dream, and you capturing it on film.
And lightweight making their dreams come true. Because Absolutely. Look, I didn't do much. I was part of a movie, you know, shout out to Javon Bates.
He gave me a part.
Only because I was at a comedy show that he produced, and he was like, "Hey, you want to do a part in the movie?" I'm like, "I don't know."
Like, man, come on, man!
It wasn't until like the second time where he was like, "I got a good part for you." I'm like, "All right, cool, yeah, I'll do it." And you know, it was fun. It was cool. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, it's something to do, and it's out there for the world. You know what I mean? It, everything is what it is. But when you put something and you have an idea, and you get people together to create the idea, and you put it out there, man, it says a lot, man.
Absolutely.
And continued success.
Yes, sir.
Keep running, we had
Mr. Raymel Adams on the Midnight Paco podcast. Yeah. Yo, Jay, where can they find you at, baby?
Everybody, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the_great_CoreE. That's where you can find me, or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco podcast.
That's right.
Mr. Raymel Adams, where can they find you at once again?
Yeah.
Just Google me.
Google.
Raymel Adams. Just go to your Google or Siri. They'll tell you who I am.
I have everything in the description.
That's right.
All the everything you need to know will be in there. All my movies, all that stuff, all the pictures of me and my wife, all that shit y'all be wanting to see. Paparazzi already did it.
Paparazzi,
don't even worry about it.
Baby.
They already did it. And the new shit will be coming out soon.
Shit, he was Hollywood in Cleveland for draft day. How about that? He didn't have to go to Hollywood. They came to him.
They came to him.
Somebody asked me that before. I said, no. They said, you ain't going to Hollywood. I said, I am Hollywood.
I am Hollywood.
Hey. Thanks for tuning in to the Midnight Paco podcast.
Thank you, everybody. Peace out.
Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco podcast.